Good afternoon. We'll call to order the House Committee on Rules for Wednesday, April 10, 2013. We're going to be hearing three House joint memorials today. We're going to start with one that will be brief. Open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 8 and call Cappy Eaton, John Buller, and pardon? Come forward, and Leslie Wright, please.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HJM 8 urges Congress to pass legislation requiring states to eliminate barriers to voting. Yes.
Speaking of the microphone.
I don't have a lot of voice because I'm sick. That's all I got.
Get closer to the mic.
Who's our third person? Oh, Cappy.
Okay. Together on the next one.
Denver, what? Representative Denver, do you want to speak to this first?
To
this memorial, HJM 8, or should we just proceed with the testimony?
I'll just say a word about okay. it. Are we on the record?
Yeah, yet? Go ahead.
Thank you, colleagues. For the record, I'm Michael Dembro. I represent Northeast Portland, House District 45. This memorial, HJM 8, actually was the brainchild of a constituent of mine who was, this was around the end of the summer, early fall, was complaining to me about, by his observation, a number of states going down a bad path in terms of restricting access to the ballot box to people who, legitimately were citizens, but because of requirements that were put on them, made it very difficult for them to vote, particularly people who were low income, aged, infirm. And he was just really upset, and he told me I needed to do something about it. And my response to him was, actually, we're doing some really great things here in Oregon with respect to increasing voter participation, opening up access to the ballot for people who should be voting, who are citizens, who have a right to vote. And he said, well, then Oregon should tell the rest of the country to do the right thing. And so that is what we have here in HJM 8. It points to the fact that Oregon is on the right path in terms of opening up the franchise appropriately and calling on Congress to work to make sure that the legitimate rights of citizens are not restrained by the states. So that, in a nutshell, is what this measure is about. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Please proceed.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Leslie Wright. I'm representing the Oregon Bus Project. The Bus Project engages young people and new people in democracy, and I'm here today in support of House Joint Memorial 8 that urges Congress to pass legislation removing barriers to voting. At the Bus, we base our work on a simple premise that democracy works better if everyone does it. As American citizens, it's our fundamental right to vote and to have a voice in the direction our future takes. We strongly believe that removing barriers to the ballot is critical, especially for the next generation. While the last 5 years we've seen young voters turn out in record numbers, defying all expectations, elections across America can still be made far more accessible. Our country now sees a rising generation of eager voters overcoming electoral barriers to voting. Many of these barriers aren't hard to see, from extraordinarily long lines to limited voting options to discriminatory laws removing common forms of identification as acceptable evidence of eligibility, to antiquated voter registration systems imposing typewriter and file cabinet standards to a digital age. In Oregon, we've worked for decades and are still working hard to reduce those barriers. It only makes sense to call on Congress to do the same. Here in Oregon, due to the hard work of generations of activists and lawmakers, we have a more modern voting system that includes vote by mail and online voter registration. This session, many are working hard to increase access to the ballot. And in this session, access to the ballot for all Oregonians and all eligible Oregonians. Increasing the number of votes cast by eligible voters across the country strengthens our democracy, and that work starts with voter registration. So I ask you to support House Joint Memorial 8 and urge Congress to increase access to the ballot. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm John Booker, a voter in the great state of Oregon, and I am very happy to see that democracy is working in this great state. I want to keep vote by mail because vote by mail is a very important thing because it allows the voter to vote in his or her privacy of her home and without the pressure of outside influence. One of the big things in America is having the right to vote. It speaks for that all races, creeds, religions, and colors should be allowed access to the ballot box. I've seen where electronic voting machines are is really a concern of mine of tampering and things that could happen, and I do not want to see that coming to the state of Oregon, and I support vote by mail and support the things that the Secretary of State is doing to ensure that is a sanctity of this thing, and the things that she's doing with the involved with the people that, as you all know, there was a big thing in Clackamas County, and I commend the Secretary of State with her timely thing and making sure that the sanctity of the vote was kept. At this point, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this issue, Vice Chair Mr. Hicks and Representative Garrett, and I strongly support that we should move to this to adopt this House Joint Memorial 8 so that we protect the sanctity of the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Cappy?
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Cappy Eaton. I'm the governance coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League believes democratic government depends upon the informed and active participation of its citizens and requires that government bodies protect the citizens' right to know and to take an active part in voting. An open government system that is representative, accountable, and responsive is essential to our form of government. HJMA addresses the suppression that is taking place across the country towards voters and their right to participate. Barriers have been established in various ways, from restrictive requirements in the registration process to closing early voting polling sites to harassment of minorities and the elderly to during closing the number of sighting places, polling places, among others. People in Florida stood for 9, 10, 12 hours in order to have the right to vote. Many of these actions would seem to violate both the National Voters Writing Act and the right to choose for citizens to participate in government. It is right and proper that Oregon protect on behalf of those being denied the opportunity to exercise their vote. The League strongly supports HJM 8 and urges you to move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the panel? Appreciate you being here testifying on this. Thank you very much. We have one more witness on this bill, then we'll close the hearing. Janice Deisinger, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Garrett and members of the committee.
Janice, can you try and speak up a little bit into the microphone so everybody can hear? Thank you.
Is that better?
I think so.
I hope so. Thank you for letting me come before you this afternoon. I'm very concerned about election integrity. All of us want our vote to count. We want to make sure that, and I would encourage anyone who's eligible to register to vote and to please be an active participant in our election process. And I go out and I try to register people to vote as well myself. But to assume that no one would try to corrupt the system is rather naive. And we want our votes to count, not to have them be diluted by people who would subvert the system for their own gain. So with a vision in mind that our vote is going to count because it's an accurate count of real citizens, that's our starting place. That's our vision of what we want. So I set out to test how accurate are our voter rolls? And so I asked a person I knew, Mr. Robert McCullough, who is an investigative researcher, and he lives in Portland, Oregon, and he is the one that found the Enron scandal, and he's been an expert witness before Congress in multiple nations. He's traveled throughout the world, through the United States, and he's an expert witness on investigating fraud. And I asked him to compare the Oregon voter rolls with the Social Security master death list. And he did, and this is just a basic test to see how accurate the voter rolls here in Oregon were. And we found 877 matches on the death list, master death list, to the Oregon voter rolls. Now, the Social Security master death list is not considered a perfect document. It has a 94% to 90% accuracy rate, and that's if you use all 10 numbers, and we only use 4 to verify our voters. So using that data is not the best to start with, but it's the best we have, and it's the most accurate out there. Of those 877 inactive and active voters, 92 were active. 361 of them had been on there for up to decades, some as long as 18 years. And I understood if someone had not voted in 5 years that their name was removed, but if they're just put on an inactive list that can be updated with a new address added on the online system, I'm concerned about that. From those 92 active, we found 6 of them had voted after their death date. We found 2 death certificates for people that had voted. And I submitted this to the secretary and to all the county clerks. And then they researched that, and from that effort, Mr. Bill Burgess told me that one of the people that had voted, and I went online and I found their, you know, the system where you can go online and find out if your ballot was accepted. Well, his ballot was shown as received, but he didn't sign his ballot, so Mr. Burgess didn't count his vote. So that leaves us with one person. I also found the same thing for him. I had his death certificate, and he voted.
Janice, I'm going to ask you to try and wrap up. We have a lot of people who need to speak today.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the bottom line is that the one person voted, and he voted both in the primary and in the general. This was just a test for death, and there's not, with Oregon's registration process, you can register here if you plan to return here someday. You don't have to live here anymore. So that leaves the voter rolls wide open for fraud. We can have people that are listed in the homeless shelters getting ballots in Maryland. And then there's also the test for double voting across state lines. Mr. McCullough would be available to you if you wanted to talk to him. And I thank you very much for hearing my concern.
Thank you for coming forward. Any questions for Ms. Deisinger? All right, thank you very much. We're going to close the public hearing on HGM 6. We're not going to move. Sorry, that was HGM 8. Close hearing on HGM 8. I'll gavel again. We're not going to move that today. We're now going to open a public hearing on HGM 5 and HGM 6. Before we start, let me say a couple things. We have several dozen people on the list to testify. This committee ends at 5 o'clock. We will not get through everybody without time limits. So as is the custom here, we're going to ask you all to abide by a 2-minute limit. For those of you who have submitted written testimony, it's not necessary to read your testimony into the record. It will be part of the record because you submitted it. You don't need to read it. And as we go forward, please try and avoid repeating what others have said. We'll make sure all those sentiments are in the record, but if we try to limit repetitive testimony, it'll make sure that we get a chance for everyone who, to offer their comments. So with that, we'll start with David Delk. Oh, I apologize. Representative Barnhart, did you want to kick this off?
And Mr.
Representative Clem, if he's present.
I think he did want to start, but I'm not certain.
So, Mr. Chair, are you opening both of these
bills? We're opening
together?
Both. Yeah. We have some overlapping testimony.
Yeah.
We'll have our colleagues briefly introduce the measures, and then we'll start public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from House District 11, Central Lane and Linn Counties. These two measures are slightly different efforts at getting at essentially the same kind of issue, having to do with the, and I'll characterize it my way, and I expect Representative Clem will characterize it in perhaps a slightly different way. We have had a developmental process economically in the United States that has involved, that has resulted in the development of very large business corporations. Their main focus of which, properly, is business, properly is the kinds of things that corporations are intended for, which is a way of centralizing capital, a way of utilizing labor to make products and provide services using a centralized government's method. I strongly support that approach. It has worked very well for the United States. It's worked very well in parts of the world where it's been used. And, of course, it's been around for several hundred years as a method for people to pool their economic resources in order to make things happen that they could not do separately and alone. I don't expect to say any more about the economics of this than what I've just said, but that's a very important thing. Relatively recently in our history, it has come to be held that these business entities have a life of their own, quite literally, and have rights that I think the people who set them up in the first place had not contemplated, had no idea that they might develop, and that in fact are inimical to the kind of organizations that they are intended to be. They are intended to be organizations that make money and that combine economic assets and people and size as a way of making money. Citizens, on the other hand, those who participate in elections, are those with many, many interests, some of them economic, some of them personal, some of them related to many other things, as this committee very well knows. The idea that a business entity with huge assets should have the capability and the possibility of involving itself in elections that involve these myriads of other issues that quite properly don't involve the corporation as a business is frankly an extremely bothersome thing, and has had the effect of skewing election outcomes in this state and in many other places. I'm not going to go into the details of these memorials. They both address similar, slightly different approaches to a similar problem, but with the decisions made by the United States Supreme Court, states like Oregon and other places are essentially unable to put business organizations into their proper place and perspective when it comes to the development of public policy. And I support the ideas that are espoused in these memorials and suggest them, commend them to the committee's attention. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from here in Salem, District 21. And I will be very brief. Corporations are not people, and money is not speech. I own four corporations. That's not what they're not to participate in the electoral process. They're to fix computers, grow fruit, own a rental, and what's my other one? Anyway, whatever the other one is. international trading. When I go to jury duty, there's no corporation getting called to jury duty to sit next to me. If there was, I probably wouldn't be here, but they're not people. They're entities used to do business, and they're important for that purpose. And I don't care whether it's George Soros helping liberals or the Koch brothers helping conservatives. Our system has completely gone astray. People in this country of all stripes believe there's too much money in politics. There should not be unlimited amounts of cash given by anybody to people running for office, regardless of ideology. And something has to change. This memorial is designed to send Oregon's delegation in particular, and the rest of the Congress, the State of Oregon Legislative Assembly's opinion on this topic. And I hope we can find some consistency from a lot of folks that this isn't meant to be a liberal issue. This isn't meant to be an anti-corporate issue. This should apply equally to entities that are not human beings trying to participate in elections at just god-awful sums of money. They often doesn't always work, doesn't always affect the outcome. But it is so corrosive to people's faith that we're not all bought off that we have to do something to change that.
Thank you very much. Any questions before we proceed? Okay, thank you both. Now we'll go ahead with our first panel, David Delk, Kirk Leonard, and Deborah Field. And just so you're prepared then, the next three following them will be Kate Titus, Carrie Fox, and Bob Ozretich. And we're going to, this clock says 2 minutes. So when we're at 2 minutes, I'm not going to cut you off in mid-sentence, but I ask out of respect to everybody in the room that you wrap up your sentence and your thoughts so we can move on.
So my name is David Delk. I live in Portland. I'm a native Oregonian. I'm here representing a coalition called Oregonians to Restore Constitutional Democracy, which consists of the Alliance for Democracy, Oregon Common Cause, all eight Oregon chapters of Move to Amend, Oregon Peace Works, Oregon Main Street Alliance, the Rural Organizing Project, and Tax Fairness Oregon. HJM 6 is the only memorial which introduced to this point, which addresses the double-headed monster that court-created doctrines have created, that would be that corporations are people and that money is speech. HJM 5 addresses only the 2010 Citizens United decision. SJMs 3 and 9 both address only the question of money and politics, so they leave that question about corporate personhood out. Many Oregonians became concerned about these questions with the Citizens United decision, giving corporations the right to contribute in so-called independent campaigns. But the coalition realizes that this is only the most recent court decision which has given constitutional rights to corporations at the expense of citizens. During the 70s, the Buckley versus Vallejo and the Bank of Boston versus Velotti decisions lessened the ability of government to regulate money in campaigns and by both individuals and corporations. That's only one head. The other head is the multiple court decisions which have given people's rights to corporations on the mistaken belief that corporations are in fact people. Each time those rights have been given, our ability to control the acts of corporations has lessened until today we question who is sovereign, we the people or we the corporations.
Well timed. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Hi, Chair Garrett and committee members. I am Deborah Field. I am the co-owner of a Main Street business in Northeast Portland in Michael's district. And I am on the executive team of Main Street Alliance of Oregon. I also spent 15 years in corporate America as a corporate accountant. And I am proud to say I'm a descendant of an Oregon Trail family. And I've always been very proud to be a native of this state and have felt that Oregon is a leader in a lot of fair and just legislation. I am here today as a business owner and as in support of Main Street Alliance to say that we support HJM 6. Just for those of you who do not know, Main Street Alliance is a network of over 1,200 business owners throughout the state. We are encouraged to speak out like I am doing today about issues that affect us as small business owners on a state and federal level. Part of our outreach and decision making is we go out and we do surveys across the state. And this year, or last year, 2012, we did a survey of about 16 questions. And part of our questions was around political spending. If I may read the question for you and how we addressed it to the 377 business owners that answered this. In January 2010, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in its Citizens United decision that corporations are free to spend unlimited sums of money in elections. Do you believe this change is good for small business, bad for small business, or has no impact? 79% of the businesses said, without a doubt, it is not good for small business. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for our democracy.
The second part of the question was, would you support or oppose a constitutional amendment declaring that corporations are not people and money is not speech? 72% said yes, they would support a constitutional amendment. I think what we're hearing and what I feel as a small business or a Main Street business, 2 minutes is up, is that we've got to stop this flood of money into our political system. It's not good. It's creating an unlevel playing field for us, and it's hard to compete in the marketplace.
Okay.
So we support that. Thank you for letting me talk
today. Thank you very much.
Hi. Chair Garrett, Vice Chair Hicks, Vice Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. I'm Kirk Leonard, resident of Salem. And very appreciative of being able to testify today. Citizens United, as we mentioned, is said to have opened floodgates of money in elections. That's not quite true. David made mention of Buckley v. Vallejo and National Bank of Boston versus Bilotti. Those were the two that blew out the stops for private individuals to spend unlimited amounts of money and for corporations to spend money on measures. But CU opened the door completely. And it's gotten a lot of people's attention. And prior to CU, there were very few organizations, perhaps 1,000 people, who were, several thousand people, who were concerned about the loss of our democracy because of the gradual accrual of corporate constitutional rights done by the Supreme Court only. The question that was answered in Citizens United wasn't even asked. That is the epitome of judge-made law, and that's what we're dealing with here, going back almost 200 years, judge-made law. Now, because of Citizens United, I want to talk about the wildfire that's happened. Hundreds, thousands of organizations, really, are involved in trying to realize a constitutional amendment. There are tens of thousands of Oregonians and hundreds of thousands of people nationally involved. Over 1 million people have voted in support of an amendment to the tune of 70-80% support, even as high as 85%. And I want to point out to you that most of the folks here are volunteers. It's an all-volunteer effort, and those who have it as a part of their job, it's a small part. So. It's coming from the grassroots, if you will. And I just want to close with some numbers. There have been 17 bills for an amendment introduced in the last Congress. In this Congress, 11 have been introduced. There have been 31 successful voter initiatives and referrals throughout the country. There are 11 more in progress. There have been 273 local government resolutions, including 10 in Oregon, and 12 state legislatures have taken the formal constitutional step of requesting a constitutional amendment from Congress.
Mr. Leonard,
14 are in progress.
We're out of time.
And that's what we're about here today, too. We hope you will support HJM6.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Coming up now is Kate Titus, Carrie Fox, and Bob Osredich. And the next group, so you're ready, will be Karen Josephson, Rachel Osredich, and Evan Preston.
Chairman Garrett, Vice Chairs Hicks and Hoyle, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify. I am Bob Osredich from the Corvallis Area Move to Amend affiliate. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. We've heard that before. There is no doubt that a child as a person is endowed with the inalienable rights of being a human. Who has endowed corporations with the same rights of personhood as a child? Was it their Creator? No, it was the Supreme Court in the late 1800s. I find the equation of a corporation and my granddaughters in any respect it to be deeply disturbing. Unlike human beings, corporations do not come into existence with rights. They are granted only the privileges found in their charters. The corporate charters written by our founding fathers limited the profits that could be made. Now there are no limits. Amazingly, in the beginning of our nation, corporations were forbidden from owning other corporations and contributing to candidates. And now look where we are. With the enactment of the trust-busting legislation in the late 1800s, corporations recognized that some of their privileges could be taken away by legislators. But if they had constitutionally guaranteed rights to do what they wanted, no law could set them aside. The problem was they were not mentioned in the Constitution.
So activist Supreme Courts created the legal fiction that corporations have the same rights as people in the First, Fourth, Fifth, Seventh, and 14th Amendments. Because the Supreme Court is the highest court of the land and they have declared corporations to be equivalent to natural persons, the only way to right this common sense error is to add a new amendment to the Constitution. The language of such an amendment is within HJM 6 before you. Its passage would be an expression of the likely majority of Oregonians who see the need to overturn the two huge fallacies corrupting our democracy, namely the statutory entities such as corporations, nonprofits, and unions. Are people, and money is speech.
When those Sir rights, Hitch, can you try and wrap up, please?
I will.
Thank you.
When those rights of people, when they lose those rights of people, corporations' privileges will continue to be granted by state legislatures and Congress as they see fit, as was intended by our founding fathers.
Thank you.
I was hoping
Go ahead.
For the thing that shows me the time. But.
I wish we had a bigger clock. It'll flash red, but I'm not sure how well you can see it. But we'll try and get it. So.
Hi, my name is Carrie Fox. I'm a resident of Salem, owner of a local small limited liability corporation, executive director of Oregon Peace Works, a member of Move to Amend and Oregon Restores Democracy. Thank you for listening to my remarks regarding our current socio-political paradigm, where legal entities are viewed as persons having the same constitutional rights as people. I really appreciate Representative Clem's words today. I'm here to speak to the local impacts of this situation where human-created legal entities have more access to our constitutional rights than we do, with a couple examples. Due to the protection of the Fourth Amendment, which protects people from search without a warrant, big businesses can evade inspection for environmental or health violations without prior notice, as in Marshall v. Barlow, 1978. This has hindered the work of OSHA, negatively affecting worker safety and leading to negative environmental and public health impacts. Access to the 14th Amendment, giving people protection under the law to live in and be part of our local communities, protection against discrimination, hamstrings local communities with powerful legal challenges. At present, we in Oregon face a decision regarding our world-famous organic brassica seed industry in the Mid-Willamette Valley. The canola industry is looking to grow canola, a genetically modified crop, in the sensitive protected zone. These plants will readily cross-pollinate with our organic brassicas if the industry is allowed there. This threatens our community's status as a world-renowned organic seed source. The canola industry can, in our current legal paradigm, use 14th Amendment rights to ensure a place here against the better interests of our community. Without these constitutional rights, businesses would have to interact on an even playing field and pay attention to the wishes of local communities, not solely to the wishes of their shareholders, who only have an interest in their bottom line, not in our health, happiness, and well-being. In summary, I insist that you consider how deep and far-reaching are the consequences of the entities we created having the same rights as do actual living, breathing human beings. We have the ability to right the socioeconomic political landscape and put people above big businesses, corporations, and legally constructed entities. So it makes sense to reclaim and reestablish people as the drivers of our democracy, not extremely wealthy, non-human legal entities. Thank you for your consideration in making the right decision by giving our system back to we the people.
Thank you very much. Kate?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for taking my testimony today. My name is Kate Titus, and I'm here on behalf of Common Cause. I'm also here on behalf of the broader coalition that Common Cause is a part of. And I want to start by thanking Representative Garrett and your staff for helping our broad coalition navigate this process. And thank you to Representative Dembro and Representative Barnhart for co-sponsoring HJM 6 and also for sponsoring other legislation toward similar ends. I appreciate your leadership. I have submitted my testimony in writing, so I won't review it. I know there are a lot of people here waiting. I'll just summarize by saying that Common Cause supports HJM 6 because we feel it's very effective at addressing both of these two interrelated issues of corporate rights and money as speech. And I point out one thing just to amplify the testimony of Kirk Leonard who in the last panel, that what we have found is that this really resonates with the public and with voters and is these issues, people get them and are very passionate about them. Everywhere across the country where voters have had a chance to vote on resolutions like these, they've passed with at least 70%. and upwards of that. And we found common cause in our own following of online supporters across the state that this was by far the number one issue that people wanted to track and stay tuned into during the legislative hearing. 90% of the people who are following issues at the legislature of our folks are tuned into this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, panel. Okay, our next group is Karen Josephson, Rachel Osertich, and Evan Preston. And then on deck will be Joel Rosenblatt, Charlie Montgomery, and John Lim.
Yes, thank you, Representative Chair Garrett and Vice Chairs Hoyle and Hicks and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Osertich, and I am a spokesperson for Corvallis Area Move to Amend. I wish to emphasize that our coalition, Oregonians for Restoring Constitutional Democracy, is not anti-corporation or anti-union. We are simply pro-democracy. Because of corporate constitutional rights, megacorporations and unions use billions in lobbying and campaigns cash to influence national and state legislature decisions, despite the efforts of many legislators to resist that influence. Everyday citizens cannot compete with that. Using their court-awarded people's rights and consequent political power, many megacorporations have grown too big to fail or jail, and they get away with harming our economy and real people in their narrow pursuit of profit. Because of their huge political power, mega corporations have, for example, caused the 2008 economic recession and risked another Great Depression. They have gotten away with receiving huge bailouts, as we all know, and continuing to reward their top management with huge bonuses. They get away with outsourcing over 2 million jobs, which is about half of those who are unemployed in our country. They get away with polluting public land, air, water, food, resulting in, for example, contamination of mother's milk and children's diets with toxins and damage to human sperm quality worldwide. These problems affect all Oregonians. The legal fiction that corporations have the rights of real people was created by the U.S. Supreme Court. And it does not allow we, the people, to overrule its decisions, except through constitutional amendments. Thank you.
2 minutes exactly. So good news. It turns out there's an app for that. We actually have a Representative Hoyle. We're going to be able to warn people when they're getting close. And so she'll be our Vanna White for the day. Mr. Preston, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Garrett, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Evan Preston. I'm a fellow with OSPIRG, the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group. I'd just like to start by echoing Kate Titus's words, thanking the members for introducing these measures and addressing this issue. OSPIRG supports House Joint Memorial 6 as it calls for a constitutional amendment furthering political equality by affirming the rights of voters to limit the amount of money that can be raised and spent for political purposes. Oregon voters believe that there is too much money in politics. In the last 20 years, Oregonians have voted twice to limit the amount of money that can be spent on elections. In 1994, upwards of 72% of voters across the state and a majority in every county voted in favor of support of Measure 9, which OSPIRG and other groups represented here were in support of. Now, limiting political contributions strengthens the public's faith in our democracy, as we have heard earlier from Representative Clem. But it also allows our democracy to more fully function by allowing every citizen, regardless of their wealth, to have the chance to air their views. Now, so because House Joint Memorial 6 calls on a constitutional amendment that would both advance political equality and strengthen the public's faith in our democracy, OSPIRG supports this measure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, thank you, panel. I appreciate your testimony. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We didn't get to you yet. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Chairman Garrett, Vice Chairs Hicks and Hoyle, members of the committee, I am Karen Josephson from Corvallis Move to Amend. And I want to say that these two HJMs are very, very different. As Rachel said, HJM 6 really addresses the problem of corporations having taken, having been given by Supreme Court the designation of persons. We as real persons have the Fourth Amendment right to protection from unreasonable search and seizure. They got the status of persons, and they said, we want that. We want to have protection from unreasonable search and seizure. So back in 1967, there was a warehouse owner who denied the fire inspector coming in, and they got into a legal battle about that. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court favored that we are going to change the meaning of reasonableness so that now regulatory agencies cannot conduct unscheduled inspections of corporate property because that's unreasonable. So they're using our rights against us. And the worst example of that was in 1998, a hot dog producer had a huge problem with bacteria in their industry, and they knew about the problem, and many people died while they were not handling that. Center for Disease Control finally came in and said, oh, you guys are the source of 21 people dying. Nothing happened as far as going to jail. They paid a mere $200,000 fine. And the reason they could get away with that is because they were designated as persons and they used our Fourth Amendment right of unreasonable search. So this doesn't affect just food. And it affects water, the air we breathe, what our kids learn, what they buy on the way home from school, what kind of health care we get, the wars we fight. I would say many of the issues that are brought here to the state legislature are citizens' issues that where they are working to struggle against big corporate power because corporate power is using the amendments that were made only for people. So this is a huge difference between the two, and I'm in support of HJM 6.
Thank you. All right, panel, we appreciate it very much. Coming up now, Joel Rosenblatt, Charlie Montgomery, and John Lim. And the group following them will be Bill Rogers, Rich Harrisay, and Gene Towns.
I'm Joel Rosenblatt. I'm a retired union attorney with SEIU. When I see a group of august individuals staring me down, I would normally say, may it please the court, but may it please the committee, and especially my representative, Representative Berger. Boy, limiting a lawyer to 2 minutes, I don't know. You're gonna have to cut me off. But you've heard a lot about how corporate spending is a problem in elections. It's not just corporations, it's unions too. It's rich individuals, you've heard that. I have a particular perspective, being a former union attorney, that I thought my union spent way too much money on candidates and political campaigns that could be better spent on bargaining, on organizing, on representing members in the grievance procedure, which was my job. You've heard, I don't want to repeat what you've already heard, but you know how corrupting it is to have corporations and unions and rich individuals spend unlimited amount of money in the electoral process and really hijack our electoral process. This is what Citizens United has facilitated. The whole concept of money is speech, which originated with Buckley versus Vallejo, and the opening of the floodgates of spending money in our elections with all the negative ads. You've also heard that it's not simply Citizens United, that there's a long history of decisions that established corporate personhood that led to Citizens United, and that constitutional rights that were intended for flesh and blood people should be given back to flesh and blood people and away from corporations, unions, and there should be some limiting of rich individuals also in the amount of money they spend. So we need to overturn Citizens United. The way to do that is with a constitutional amendment. The Oregon legislature needs to support that, restore democracy to the people, put the elections in the hands of small donors and people involvement, citizen involvement, and not in the hands of corporations, unions, and rich individuals. And really what we're talking about is restoring the power of the legislature to regulate campaign financing without Supreme Court intervention.
Thank you very much.
Whoever's next, Desmond.
My name is John Lim. I'm from Jackson County, way down south. Chairman Garrett and committee, we thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. I want to jump right in. Ashland passed a ballot question this last November by 80% vote yes. I think the other 20% didn't quite know what they were voting for. So, but shall Ashland, is elegantly simple, shall Ashland voters instruct Congress to amend the U.S. Constitution, one, to grant only natural persons constitutional rights, and two, to limit campaign spending? We know that. Now, Ashland is regarded as by its neighbors as pretty progressive. In fact, you've probably heard it said that Ashland is 4 square miles surrounded by a sea of normality. So we wondered, therefore, we could do this easily in Ashland. Could we do it somewhere else? So we went to Medford, our much larger neighbor to the north, and the other 16 cities of Jackson County. And that is where we have been working intensely for the last couple of months. So we have talked to small business, Main Street, small business on Main Street, trade groups, militias, as well as landowners, miners, timber owners, and farmers. And they've been, of course, predominantly conservative in our neck of the woods. And they get it. Okay. They're appalled when they hear that the entities such as corporations, unions, and trade associations are now considered to have the rights of citizens under our U.S. Constitution. These are rights that they thought were only for living, breathing people. Our interactions led us to strongly believe that this is a transpartisan Am I over? Issue?
No, good.
10 seconds. The transpartisan issue. So virtually everyone agrees that Congress is broken and confidence in the institution is an all-time low. We can start to address this problem when the people feel that their views actually count. We ask for your full support of HJM6. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lim.
Chairman Garrett, Vice Chairs, and members of the committee. My name is Charlie Montgomery. I'm from Yamhill, Oregon. I'm representing Move to Amend Yamhill County here today, and I'm speaking in favor of HJM6 and trying to answer the question for you why an amendment is the right remedy. The authors of the Constitution knew they wouldn't get everything right, so they made it a living document. There have been 27 prior amendments to the document to fix oversights that became known with experience and with changing times. One more problem is now apparent. There are oversights that have let fictitious legal entities gain the constitutional rights of people. For example, they can influence elections with free speech rights, and since money now equals free speech, they have a much louder voice than we the people. The legal fictions that are corporations started as tools of the people to gather investors for worthwhile projects under a revocable state charter. Court findings and decisions over 200 years have gradually reversed this. People have become tools of the corporations, and our democracy is becoming a corporatocracy. Constitutional amendment is required to restore democracy because the Supreme Court can reverse regulation and legislation. The amendment must eliminate constitutional rights for non-persons and designate that money is free speech and can be regulated. This will restore corporations to their vintage state of defined privileges but no rights, to the useful servants they originally were. Oregon can join other leaders of this effort around the country by passing HJM6. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you for offering it. We appreciate it. Thank you, panel. Bill Rogers, Rich Harrisay, and Gene Towns, and then the next group will be Rick Stagenborg, David Ivan Piccioni, and Rosalie Pedroza.
I'm Gene Towns, and I cede my spot to Rosalie Pedroza.
Okay. Do you want to testify later or not at all? You don't? Okay.
Chairman Garrett, Vice Chairs Hicks and Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Bill Rogers. I'm a member of Common Cause Oregon, and that's part of the Coalition, the Oregonians for Restoring Constitutional Democracy. I live in Eugene. I'm represented by Representative Hovey. I'm here to tell you the story of what happened in Eugene over the last 2 years that relates to HGM 6. The story began with a small group of volunteers from a group, We the People Eugene, affiliated with the national organization Move to Amend. In the summer of 2011, these volunteers gathered over 5,000 signatures on a petition calling on the Eugene City Council to pass a resolution along the lines of HJM 6. In February of last year, the City Council did pass such a resolution. We then asked the Council to place this issue on the ballot for a vote of the people, and in July they did so. This prompted another round of signature gathering to meet the requirements for placing a total of 7 arguments onto the voters' pamphlet. We found the process of asking for signatures often provided the opportunity to explain the need for a constitutional amendment concerning corporate personhood and campaign contributions. And when they heard it, people were generally willing to sign. We the People of Eugene created a PAC to allow for the collection of a small amount of money to produce 100 yard signs. That's the extent of the campaigning. The only public opposition to the measure that I'm aware of came in the form of an editorial in the Register Guard for reasons I would like to respond to, but don't have time to do it. Last November 6, the advisory question was approved by almost a 3-to-1 margin. The support was strong throughout the city. So HJM 6 is a step toward restraining corporate influence, and we urge that it be approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Rosalie Pedroza, and I'm on the board of Rural Organizing Project, and Chair Garrett and members of the committee. I'm here on behalf of Rural Organizing Project in support of HJM 6. Rural Organizing Project is a statewide grassroots nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing democracy in rural Oregon. For the last 20 years, we have fought to have the basic human rights and dignity recognized by the most marginalized and the most disenfranchised in our state. Supporting this bill is, this memorial is one small step toward reclaiming our democracy. With thousands of members representing each of Oregon's 36 counties, the Rural Organizing Project as a whole stands behind the movement to overturn the notion that corporations are people and that money equals free speech. In a state and country where so many communities are denied their voices in our democratic processes, the last thing our democracy needs is to allow the bodies that benefit most from this disenfranchisement, in other words, corporations, a free pass to as much money, as much democracy as they can buy. And who can afford the most free speech? Living, breathing rural Oregonians or corporations? Many towns and counties have passed resolutions in support of overturning corporate personhood, including rural regions in the state, Baker City, Benton County, Lincoln County, and more. And there are groups across the state building capacity toward overturning corporate personhood from southern Oregon to northeastern Oregon, down to some of the smallest towns in the state, like Selma, Oregon. Again, our membership, our board of directors, and our staff at the Rural Organizing Project urge you to support HJM 6.
Thank you very much.
Chair Garrett, Vice Chair Hicks, and members of the committee, I'm Rich Harrisay, co-founder of Marion Polk Move to Amend affiliate, and I live in Sublimity. You have before you a piece of legislation, HJM 6, which, because it's a joint memorial, you might think is not as urgent or as important as something that was to be legislation right now, to be a statute. It is, in fact, a step in the processing of the most important legislation of the 21st century. You are part of that, and we would hope that Oregon will be behind this measure. We're asking here for the our federal legislators to submit a constitutional amendment that says that corporations are not people, the money does not equal speech. In fact, that has already been done. Now what we need is support for it. It has been introduced in the House. There are a few others. They are not very good, okay, because they don't address the personhood problem. And this is what is so very important. Without that being addressed, we're not going to make any progress. We may get some control of corporate contributions in elections, but not what we want. We are faced with a de facto takeover of the people's government. In our system, government sovereignty was given to the people. But we have become a corporatocracy, a nation run by corporations for the benefit of corporations. They have this power because they're allowed to use their vast wealth to corrupt our political system, and they can do that because they've been declared persons. By the way, this was never done. This was never established in a court case, in a Supreme Court case. And you can look that history up. Our nation was designed as a republic and a representative democracy with sovereignty vested in the people. But our government's no longer representative of the people.
Time is up, sir.
Okay, I've got one final statement I want to make.
One more statement.
Personhood was putatively established via the Supreme Court in the late 1800s. That is not the one.
Very sneaky, very sneaky.
Another of the subsequent Bill of Rights cases, that's not the one either. Okay. We're facing
limit on this.
This is good. One more false statement.
We're facing the same threat to our Constitution that moved Abraham Lincoln to pledge that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. You have the opportunity to help remove that threat by reestablishing the sovereignty of the people by voting this bill to the floor with your recommendation that it be passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, panel. Rick Stagenborg, David Ivan Piccioni, and Ethan Scarl, please. The next group will be John Booker, Noah Monger, and Don Nelson.
I'll decline to testify on Don Nelson.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dr. Rick Stagenborg. I'm with Take Back America for the People, and I sit on the National Council of the Alliance for Democracy. I think the case has already been made here that corporate personhood and the concept that money is speech are two serious dangers to democracy. And I want to talk a little bit about the effect of that. You've heard the percentages of people that support a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood and to overturn Citizens United and its precedents. What I want to point out is when 70 to 80% of people are against something or for something, and our Congress does not do anything about it, we are not a democracy. I don't think there can be any clearer illustration of why we are not a democracy. Until we take care of this problem, we're not going to be represented in Congress. When I spoke to my representative here in the Oregon legislature about this, she said, I'm sorry, we only deal with state issues. Well, this is something that affects the state, and it affects every individual in this state. So I hope the members of this committee will take their responsibility seriously. We all have a responsibility to defend democracy, but in a representative democracy, we depend on you to do that for us. And we are calling on our members of Congress to do that. We want you to call on our members of Congress to do that. Represent we the people. We've made it quite clear through all these resolutions and these referenda that what our will is, and if that is clearly our will, I hope that you will represent us and tell our legislatures, tell our legislators in Congress that this is what we want, and we won't settle for less. This is going to become a campaign issue. Not saying that as a threat. I'm just telling you, this is going to become a campaign issue. And I hope that members of this committee are going to get ahead of the ball and realize if they represent the people, that's the best thing they can do for themselves as well as for us.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Piccioni. I'm from We the People, Eugene. I'm the president, and we are an affiliate of Move to Amend. Dear Hearing Committee related to HJM6, House Joint Memorial 6 was introduced by Brian Clem. This great bill needs vital support of modern-day heroes and heroines who believe that their right extends beyond our skins and includes the environment as well as other human beings. It declares that corporations are not people. They should not be entitled to rights intended for humans. It reverses Citizens United, a blight on our system of laws. One of the reasons why people are so discouraged by our present system and feel powerless. It declares that money is not free speech. This is an aberration which causes many of us to feel that their ideas have no importance, that democracy is only for the rich, which can pay for the media and politicians to carry their advertisements forth and essentially do their bidding. There are other bills related to this, but HJM6 is the only one that doesn't undermine our efforts by leaving the job unfinished. So please support only House Joint Memorial 6. Don't dilute the message. Be part of the people who want to see the truth untarnished. And as an activist in many causes like world peace, democracy, labor, healthcare, environment, food sovereignty, animal rights, community bill of rights, this is very important that this passes for this to be able to continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir.
My name is Ethan Scarl. I'm with Move to Amend and Alliance for Democracy. Our lives in Oregon, the state of Oregon, and in the United States depend on a complex web of systems of energy, food, materials, control of disease. The people are aware of this, by and large, to some extent. And when asked whether they want definitive action to control climate change, to invest heavily in renewable energy instead of subsidizing fossil fuels. When asked whether we should be squandering our arsenal of antibiotics on fattening livestock, the people have a very clear choice, but none of this happens in Congress. And the reason it traces back to the dominance of corporate power, which really means that short-term interest in immediate profit trumps the long-term interests, even if it means the survival of the society as a whole and those players. And it goes to other issues such as genetic modification or ending wars with indefinite objectives. I say this to emphasize that this is not merely an issue of fairness or justice. It's an issue of survival.
Thank you, panel. We appreciate your testimony. John Booker, Noah Monger, John Floner, I believe. Maybe I got that wrong. Is it Flannery?
Yes.
Come up. Go ahead.
I'm an uncle. I'm a
citizen. Need your name for the record, sir.
Yeah, my name is John Booker. I'm an uncle. I'm a citizen of this great country. and I don't like the direction it's going in. I'm also a member of HCAO, a great organization called Healthcare for All Oregon. We've been trying to get single payer passed. We can't get it passed because the medical corporations are blocking us. As an example, I just heard recently in Merrick in India was blocked, which was a multinational corporation, from trying to push more expensive drugs on people. How come we can't do it here in America? We can't do it because we've got corporatocracy. We have corporations running our medical industry. We have corporations running our free trade agreements. Our labor, we're losing jobs out of this great state of Oregon. I don't want to leave a legacy for my children and my family for having corporations run amok. That's why I'm supporting HGM6, because I believe that as an American, we have a right to dignity and sovereignty in this great country and land of ours. We have a right as citizens to be treated as individuals, not as a piece of meat just because corporations want to run us. I work for a corporation, and I can't even say anything for threat of being fired. So I have no rights as a worker. I grew up in a country which I thought had rights, worker rights, union rights. But I see the corporations are trying to take that away from me as a citizen by having their own rights. So that's why I support HGM6. We need to get back rights to the citizens. We need to look at, we are the Americans. We are the voters. We count in this great country of ours. That's why I support HGM6, and I encourage you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Go ahead.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is John Flannery. I'm the secretary for the local affiliate to Move to Amend in Eugene called We the People Eugene. We're also a member of the Coalition of Oregonians for the Restoration of Constitutional Democracy. My role tonight, today, is to actually respond to some of the misstatements that are out there on opponents of the legislation like this, misconceptions that might lead you to think that there are some drawbacks to this kind of legislation. When I talk to people around corporate rights, I'm sometimes faced with the same kind of logic I'm seeing in this ACLU testimony, where they say, if a corporation is denied constitutional rights, the government would not need a search warrant to search the records of corporations that hold very private information about Americans. This is a misunderstanding. We want this amendment to say clearly that corporations don't have rights. We are not taking the rights away from individual people. And so if a government legislation would infringe on the rights of real people, it still wouldn't be allowed by this amendment. So if to the extent that information is actually securely held by these private corporations, then it could not be released as a result of just this amendment. An example is NAACP v. Alabama, where back in the 50s, Alabama wanted to force the NAACP to turn over the membership list. And it was prevented. The court said, no, that would infringe on the rights of the members of the NAACP to organize. Exactly right. In contrast, 20 years later, the court said, oh, well, we can't have these government inspectors coming in without a warrant to inspect occupational safety and environmental claims and so forth, because that would infringe on their rights to privacy. Whose right to privacy? In a workplace, there might be hundreds of people in a workplace, and yet the government said somehow there's a privacy interest here. Where are the people whose privacies are actually being impacted by that kind of activity? So that's the kind of misunderstanding that we are trying to solve. And which brings me to the how we could integrate HGM5 and HGM6. The problem with HGM5 is that it leaves out the easy cases and addresses the most difficult cases, but it doesn't lend the necessary clarity to actually understand where these cases have to be decided. As I said, that if an association... Oh, past time?
Go ahead and finish your sentence.
If an association cannot be regulated without impinging on the rights of its members, then of course we can't allow the government to do that. Those cases, the difficult cases, are mostly around free speech issues and First Amendment issues. So it's appropriate to focus on those, but not to exclude all the easy cases that are out there too.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Munger.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Noah Monger, and I'm here with the Bus Project, an organization that gets new young people engaged in democracy. And I'll try to keep this as short as possible. I am here today to encourage you to support both House Joint Memorial 5 and 6. Our interest in both of these is to empower our Congress to regulate the money spent in our elections as adequately as possible. The Bus Project, as you heard my colleague Leslie say earlier, believes that democracy works better when more people do it. Part of this is making sure that we make it as accessible as possible, and that's the stuff we were talking about earlier, and part of it is about building trust in our public institutions. The more people will use democracy if more people feel like they can trust it. When Americans have to suffer through endless attack ads and watch as special interests dump hundreds of millions of dollars into elections, that trust dwindles. This isn't just about one court case. It's not just about corporations. This is about empowering Congress to make our elections as clean and fair as possible. These changes are popular. Democrats and Republicans support them. Young people and old people support them. Urban and rural, 7 in 10 Americans, bottom line, support these sorts of changes. So we ask that you support HGM 5 and 6, and thank you for the time.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Peter Bergel and Josie Cohn. Kerner, thank you.
Next panel. Is there another panel?
Go ahead. All right. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Peter Bergel. I'm the program director for Oregon Peaceworks. I just want to sum up a little bit. Oregon Peaceworks supports HJM 6, feels that we should send this message to the Congress. You've heard that corporations are established for public service. They were established to make money, but when they were originally set up, they were required to serve the public. And if they didn't serve the public, their charters were revoked. I believe that's the way corporations should be treated. What's happened now is that corporations control politics, and we can say that's not true, and we can act as though that were, people control politics, and we know that's not true, and you all know it. I mean, you're all politicians, you all know how it works. So what's happened is that we've developed a Frankenstein monster. Or to look at it another way, we've actually been invaded by a foreign species that's come in and taken over our country, and now is in the process of taking over our world. Corporations should block just about everything that's good for the people. I've been an activist all my life. I've been at it for more than 50 years. I've been either blocked or won very, very pitched battles with corporations for all 50 years and lost most of those battles because there's too much money on the other side and too much power. You've heard that there's very broad public support for this measure. Typically, it's above 70%. Above 70%. Most people who run for public office do not get 70%. You all know that. So please, do the job that you're here to do, which is to represent the people. Your representatives, Garrett, Burwood, Denbro, you're all representatives. So represent the people who are 70% or more in favor of HGM 6. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Josie Kerner. I'm with Tax Fairness Oregon, and I wanted to talk to the issues around taxes and how not having this amendment affects taxes. We work with many other organizations nationwide to promote tax fairness that serves the common good. And we seek tax laws that are fair, stable, and adequate for the needs of the people. U.S. citizens need to know that their system of government is fair and protects the interests of the average citizen, not just the prosperous and the privileged. That perception of fairness has eroded in recent years due to the overreaching influence of corporate power and the vast sums of money in politics provided by large corporations and the extremely wealthy few. Instead of a level playing field where each person's voice can be heard, we We see the distortions of the truth in ads that this money can buy. The ideas of a few are broadcast everywhere as though they are facts. Average people have little voice, power, or influence to counter the assertions made by the most powerful. Corporate money is one of the biggest influences on our government today. Highly paid and powerful corporate lobbyists have access to our decision makers that was unheard of years ago. Laws to reduce corporate taxes, especially in tax credits and loopholes, have escalated since the 70s and 80s. Corporations and the wealthy now pay lower effective tax rates than they used to pay and a far smaller share in state and local and federal taxes overall. States compete to offer reduced taxes to corporations, and corporations threaten to leave the state if their taxes go up. At the same time as they get more tax credits, they outsource jobs and increase robotic production at the expense of their own workers and fellow citizens. The tax structure for the wealthy is likewise tipped in their favor through deductions only the rich can take advantage of. Working people with lower incomes pay a higher level proportion of their income in taxes, and their taxes are taken out of their paychecks just as soon as they earn it. The wealthy can hold on to their income and earn interest on it until their tax lawyers figure out all the deductions they can take. Increasingly, the rich have been getting much, much richer while the lowest earners are falling behind, and this is well documented. Is this fair? Why is this happening? One reason is that there have been two pervasive assumptions that have enabled this to happen. One is corporations have the same constitutional rights as human people have, and the other is that money is the same as free speech. The courts have used these assumptions to grant these powers to corporations and wealthy few. Yet nowhere in the Constitution or in our laws are corporations provided with these rights and the wealthy with such power. Has each corporation taken a poll of its workers to determine how they wish to vote and for whom? No, a small board decides to put vast sums of money toward the issues and candidates they support to ensure maximum profit for their corporation. Concern for the common good is not...
Can you try to wrap up, please? Thank you.
Yeah. Concern for the common good is not part of the corporate charter. Is this process democratic? Should we allow corporations with millions to be able to blanket the publicly owned airwaves on every radio station and TV to get their messages heard? Does this not drown out all the multitudes of other voices that do not have money? Is this what one person, one vote means? Does this foster or inhibit the democratic process? We can overcome these faulty assumptions and we can pass Joint Memorial 6.
Thank you very much. Any questions? All right. Thank you, both of you. That's all the names I have signed up on the list, but I want to ask if there's anyone else present who didn't sign up who would like to be heard while we have the hearing open. Please just come on up.
Thank you. A little difficult for me.
And if there's anyone else who did not sign up who'd like to speak, this is your opportunity.
I've been watching these chairs. They're a little iffy, so if you don't mind, I could stand.
That'd be fine, whatever you'd like.
My name is Sandra Oliver Poor. I'm with Marion Polk Move to Amend and the Oregon Alliance for Democracy. The one thing I haven't heard today is among the many ills of corporations, as they act as citizens of the United States, to me there's one that's overreaching and kind of says it all. And that is basically that the people of the United States, from the time they're in kindergarten, learn to say the allegiance to the flag. All citizens pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Corporations cannot possibly do that, large corporations, because they are multinational corporations. Their money is intermingled, commingled with money from all over the world that has to do with their bottom line. So they can't possibly be treated as citizens of the United States. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Last call for anyone else who'd like to testify. I see. Please come forward. State your name for the record.
My name is Marisabel Governor.
And I have to say that I did not want to speak because I feel that, you know, really, what do I know about this issue? In spite of the fact that I read all I can about it, that all of you sitting up here must be so scholarly on these subjects. But at the same time, I feel, what does it take to understand this situation? I mean, what do you have to hear? What do you have to know? I'm speaking because I look a hell of a lot younger than I am. And I wouldn't want my grandchildren to say, what the hell did she do when this was going in this direction? I am on the executive committee of the Black Caucus for the Democratic Party, and I don't want you to get the impression that the only people who care about this issue are white people. Corporations now that are fulfilling their needs for money and paying their stockholders are imprisoning a huge population of black people. It's a self-perpetuating problem. So this affects many, many aspects of human life. And I ask you to seriously consider what you were elected to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the hearing. I just want to thank everyone who came from across the state to offer their testimony today. We appreciate hearing the passion on this issue. We're not going to take action today. I do believe we'll be taking action on these issues this session. Some members have asked if we can have some time to consider the testimony we've heard today. So thank you again for your testimony, for your respect for your fellow citizens. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on HJM 5 and HJM 6.
Thank you.
No, we're adjourned.